Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out. And we go for it.
Hello, Chicago! Oh my God, what a pleasure to be here in the Windy City.
Not just the Windy City, can I go on the record saying that truly, Chicago, the greatest city on God's green earth. All other cities, they pale in comparison to this. Not just the Windy City, but also in many ways a city of gardens and a city of water, a city of houses and a city of streets. We've been here for less than 16 hours, and I will say this, I would love to start a family and build a home in Chicago, Illinois. New York City, I spit on the grave of New York City. Portland, Oregon is a fucking wasteland. And Los Angeles is rightfully about to run out of living resources for the residents in the state of California. But Chicago, Illinois, yes, it is at the mercy of the whims of global warming. But otherwise, an immensely livable town. Thank you so much for having us. Please give it up for our host, Sleeping Village.
Great venue.
Beautiful venue.
Everyone here is fantastic. And it's just occurred to me, and I'm fucking devastated to report, that we usually have another co-host joining us on these shows. We have a third co-host, and that's the knife.
Yeah.
And I am fucking devastated to say that I didn't bring it. It's what I would be saying if I didn't, but I did, guy. I remember the knife. You didn't see that coming, did you?
No, you didn't. I know.
I worked so hard to do this behind your back while we were at the accommodation. You didn't see me do this, eh?
No.
I had it in a little bag when you weren't looking. I was sneaky,
I'm not keeping eyes
bag.
On you constantly, Tim. You can do all
Third
sorts
co-host.
Of...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a knife. Yeah, it's cool, man. Don't gesture towards me or the audience with the knife as a general rule of thumb. I'll tell you what. It was no question in my mind whether or not you'd bring the knife. I was like, Tim's going to bring the knife. He used it in New York last night. The guy loves knives. But what you did do is you sold that dummy. You sold you forgot the knife really convincingly.
Thank
and I was
you.
Like, oh,
you
I
fell
actually,
for it?
Well, yeah, I fell for it. And to the point where I hate that you always have one, but I felt badly for you. I was like, oh, hope this doesn't throw Tim off his unflappable rhythm.
No.
A knifeless Tim is a vulnerable Tim. And I say that mentally and physically.
I'm going to have the knife nice and visible just to bring me comfort.
What do you see? How does this feel?
I'll admit, not great. I haven't been on the receiving end of our third co-host before. I'll think twice about that in the future.
No, so we arrived at I don't even know, 11:20 a.m. this morning. Chicago are here. One of my favourite airports, actually. Incredible amenities. Truly. You got also.
The airport we left was shit.
Yeah, I paid $6.20 for an everything bagel with cream cheese at LaGuardia. I was fucking rope. Are you going to imagine me? I was furious. And then we're swanning through on our way to baggage claim. You know, all these different vendors selling delicious food, but we swan straight through. We knew what we were doing.
You've never seen a shop before.
It's fantastic commerce and trade of food for the exchange of currency. It was truly amazing.
Yeah, it's a city that I didn't mention this before, but it's also a city of the future. So what I found is if I approached some of these vendors, I could exchange money or goods for what they... Anyway,
now look,
for a bartering system...
I don't know about you, Guy, but I want to get right into our watch today because it was fucking harrowing. It was so bad... What I have is admiration and love in my heart for my co-host, Guy Montgomery, who insisted that we really treat this one very seriously and with dignity and respect, because the watch that we did before the New York City live show was a little distracted, if we're being honest with ourselves, which we need to be.
Absolutely.
But today... Ooh, it was just us and the gals, and it was a bad, grisly scene.
We're staying in a hostel, top and bottom bunk. Tim got top, and we put it on, and we sat in our respective bunks, and we had phones next to the screen, and we just let...
You took my cell phone off me, which I thought was great.
I felt like a teacher.
I was grateful for it in a way. It's like, thank you, a little bit of enforced discipline. I needed this.
Yeah,
you
know? And so we had them there, and we really gave it a go in letting this thing take hold. And it was the amount of violence Tim threatened on himself over the two and a half hours, too.
Threatened violence upon me as well, though. You kept saying, I just want to smack you in the head.
No. I didn't say that. I said I want us both to punch each other in the head at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
And that's very different from just threatening violence upon you.
Yeah.
You told me at different times that you want me to smash my hand into the mirror, take a shard of glass and cut you open.
I didn't think that would be shared, but yes, I did say that.
You, without prompt or my knowledge, put your belt around your neck the other end around the handle of the bunk and started saying, you should see what I'm up to.
That was so... What was weird about that was because I did, like... I was just very absentmindedly, because I didn't have my phone or any other objects around me. I was like, well, what have I got to kind of fiddle with while I watch this movie that I've seen 6 billion times now? And so I was like, oh, I've got a belt. So I just, without even thinking, took my belt off.
This is why they take belts off people in prison.
Yeah, I totally understand it now. And just wrapped it around my neck and then tightened it around one of the steel trellis bits of the bunk and just started tightening it. And then kind of caught myself doing it, like I hadn't had a thought about it. And then I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, hey, Guy, what am I doing?
And at first I ignored him. I was watching the movie. But then 5 minutes later he said, Guy, you should really see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
There was one other...
With a pen.
Yeah, you said you wanted to jab a pen up your nose.
No, it was through my ear to see if it gets to my brain. But like, we don't need to go through all of it.
There were a variety of ways, quite creative ways, that you described wanting to harm yourself, which I think was representative of the mental state that we had while watching the... It was
focused.
As the weather cleared so far this year, I would say roughly 150 perfect Chicago days. A city famous for its climate consistency.
Yeah.
As the rain clouds cleared and the blue sky shone through, we were trapped inside of this this physical and emotional prison, only freed by a constant drip that was coming through. Obviously, the podcast's going well because we're sharing bunk beds in a hostel. And there's unrelenting drip of not clear water, but very thick and viscous yellow water.
Yeah, at first I thought it was honey. But then it dropped like water because it was so thin. It was the color of honey. And then I saw the drip and I was like, hey, guy, what's going on there? And you're like, oh, we should change rooms. I was like, it's a drip. And then I was like, wait, good water isn't colored like that.
It was a very Antipodean response because we went and told what do you call them? The teller? The vendor? Whoever's at the front.
Front of house person.
Yeah. And we said to the front of house vendor, we said,
now listen here, vendor.
Now pray tell, what exactly is going on with your ceiling? And
I hasten to add, this is literally two star accommodation, but rated 4.4 stars for being two star accommodation. So you can't set your expectations too high.
Yeah. What we're saving on money, we're losing in quality. And
Funny there.
Yeah, the guy came through and we were so apologetic. We were like, oh, I don't know what we've done by being in here, but it appears we've created a drip in the roof. Falling over ourselves to take responsibility for the faulty fucking accommodation that we're paying them to stay in. And the guy said, hey, well, I got good news for you. We're changing rooms. No one's going to have to be on the top or bottom bunk now. You both get bottom bunks. Can you imagine this? Two boys in a four-sleeper berth room at the very same hostel. One floor up, presumably the room from which the drip originates.
It's so funny because you hear so many stories about people getting upgraded in their hotels, like the honeymoon suite or the penthouse or a king room. But our situation was we got upgraded to a room that had another set of bunks. We're like, yes, beat the system.
But so that's where we were watching it, and there was, I would say, also that came with about 40 minutes left in the movie, so there was a they did somewhat set us free from the prison.
God,
that we were
so grateful for, but something else intruding.
If we want to get into the particulars of the movie, I did have a pretty, I'd like to get into a shining light, if I may.
Guys produced a notebook,
and I'm actually fearful. I've articulated this before, but it made me feel very serene at a time when I was feeling quite restless and negative. When Charlotte calls up after screaming. It's in first line of dialogue at every turn. I don't know how it's written in the script, but I imagine it says, Charlotte screams apropos of nothing, and then whatever the line of fucking dialogue is. I've got nothing but love and respect for Kristen Davis and the choices she makes as an actor, but that character is a fucking disaster. And she screams and she calls up Carrie and says, your wedding's on page 6. And there's a back and forth, a tete-a-tete between Carrie and Big, where she ferries the information over to Big. And in the
who would put that on there?
Yeah, that's what Big says.
I love it.
I feel like that's kind of coy of Big, because I think he knows that they're of public interest.
Of course he does.
But it's faux humility, isn't it? Or do you think he's genuinely humble?
No, it's faux. It's put on. That's what makes
him so
good.
He doesn't appear to be bothered by the trimmings and trappings of modern day life. He doesn't want any of the he doesn't want, I think there's probably.
He's a simple man.
They don't
exemplified by the fact that you give him a book.
Yeah.
He's not reading it.
Yeah. You give him a book.
Give a man a book, he'll read the book. Give Boog a book, he will, have a doorstop, depending on the size of it. I don't know. Start a fire?
Yeah, give Big a book. Yeah, you've wasted a book. So she's saying it's on page 6, and he's standing there, he's got an empty coffee cup, as he always does. And he's moving it around, this weightless coffee cup, as so many actors in movies love to do. They say, the director says, I could put fluid in there. And they say, no. I studied mime. I think I can carry an empty cup as though there's fluid. And so he's sort of holding his coffee cup like this.
I don't care if you studied under Marcel Marceau himself. Put some fucking liquid in there. Physics is real and it shows up in screen. Yeah. Do yourself a favour. Make it water. We're not going to know the difference if it's coffee or water.
I hope the system is sitting up and paying attention, because
we're speaking truth to power.
Yeah, the system just got licked. But so in the background of frame, there's this beautiful painting, or possibly a printed canvas from Target. And it is... it's an ocean of this quite beautiful sort of between azure and navy blue, and there's a figure in a rowboat. What we in New Zealand
laugh for azure.
Yeah.
That's so good.
As you are. And is it there in a what we'd call a dinghy, but it's a very tranquil piece of imagery.
Is
so
dinghy,
it's
a, do Americans know what a dinghy? Yeah, cool, sorry. Just checking.
The image is a bird's eye view of someone in calm waters in a boat just miles away from all of their problems. A failed political leader in New Zealand called David Cunliffe said there's not a lot of problems a man can't solve when he's out on the water. And I'm paraphrasing here. I don't think it was about problem solving for him. I think it was about getting away.
This is off brand.
What is off brand?
He was leader of the opposition for 6 days.
Yeah.
Why did you hold on to that quote from David Cunliffe?
A lot of high quality sound bites in those 6 days. He was robbed. Jacinda Ardern shivved that man. He should be our leader. Anyway, that's all by the by.
I like that we've come all the way to Chicago to discuss this intimate New Zealand political issue.
But no, so beautiful, tranquil imagery. Someone in a boat. They're away from land. They're away from screens. They're away from the problems of their life. And I looked at that and I fantasized about it. And I could appreciate it both as a piece of art in an apartment that the characters live in and as a place that I personally, emotionally and physically would have liked to be at the time. And that was my shining light. And can I say this? It's great to be in Chicago, the world's greatest city.
Funny you mention that, because what you've just described reminds me so much of a scene in Ferris Bueller, a movie set in this very town we're in.
Starring friend of the podcast, Matthew Broderick.
And let me stop you there.
Okay.
There's a sequence where they go to, is it the Museum of Modern Art? Where
Does
they
anyone
are?
Here work for a rental car company?
Art Institute of Chicago.
And they're looking at it, is it a Monet? I'm not sure who. Seurat? George Seurat, I think. We got some cultured fucking Chicagoans in. And so Cameron's looking at the painting. It's a famous painting, apparently. It's got this. It's not Sunday in the Park, is it? Is that? Yeah, it's Sunday in the Park. Okay, all right, cheers.
And were you applauding your own knowledge?
There's a woman with a baby, and Cameron, it goes like between him and the baby, and it like just does the zoom in. That's what I feel like you were doing. Like it was, you were getting fucking in there with the boat.
That's what it felt like. It's funny. It's so funny. You should bring up Matthew Broderick and then immediately slap a goddamn muzzle on me, because I got some pretty interesting trivia about that gentleman. I don't know if anyone here works for a rental car company, but if you see the strapping young lad, Broderick, approach the bench, do not rent that man a car.
Monty, we don't talk about it. We don't. All right? We don't. I mean, what I was doing a little bit was filling in time.
Oh, my gosh, it's Matthew Broderick.
No,
oh.
Nah, dude. Nah, we don't do that here. I had like three shining lights. I can't remember a goddamn single one.
You took three shining lights out of there? Jesus.
I wrote some stuff down, but it was mainly pictures. We went insane this watch.
Do you know, it was interesting because we were on these separate bunks. So in a sense, we were watching together, but physically we were watching apart. Yeah. And that meant that we both unraveled. Sort of, there was a synchronicity to the mental deterioration, but also it took its own forms. I would stand up and look in the mirror and make angry faces at myself and go,
It was terrifying. You can't say, you did it to the mirror, but then you directed that face at me. And I put on a brave face, but it was scary, man. I didn't
so
like
well,
it.
So, yeah, what were you doing in the meantime,
I went Blue's Clues on it, and I have just drawn a bunch of pictures. And one of them is a syringe with a drip coming out for the
Botox.
What
does that represent?
The Botox reference.
Yeah.
Samantha says, "Honey, you got Botox." I didn't get Botox.
Yeah.
It's when
she says,
Carrie's
"Honey, you finally
her.
Got Botox."
Yeah. I didn't get Botox.
Samantha,
you're gonna love it. She says.
But she didn't get Botox. Well, she did, but not. You know, she doesn't acknowledge it. She's engaged to be married.
Has his GP had Botox?
Almost definitely.
I've got... What is the... Oh, it's a ring.
I think it's about time that we used our platform to speculate on the way that these women look. Don't you?
Moving on. I've got drawn a picture of the wedding ring, which is just a circle inside another circle.
It looks a lot like Well, it's the order in which the images were drawn. The syringe came after the wedding ring. In order, you drew a wedding ring, and then you drew what is directly beneath the wedding ring. What's that?
It's a penis.
Yeah. And when those two images were on the page alone, it resembled a wedding, a sphincter, sorry. And
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look like that. But then I drew a wedding dress.
Can I show
Carrie's one?
Just so anyone... I want to show you Sam here. Sam, by the way, everyone, can you imagine this? Traveled 9 hours on a bus from Minneapolis. Not alone. Don't think of him as a hero. Thank you. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
That's Tasha.
Tasha also traveled 9 hours from Minneapolis. Can you please describe what Tim thinks is a wedding? Fucking A. On the same bus?
No.
Ice two.
What is it? Half of Minneapolis is in Chicago. Seize the tower now! Can you please describe what Tim thinks is a wedding dress? It's that one there. Yeah,
it looks like Tingle's outfit from Tingle. Link. Yeah, yeah, from like young Link. He's like a character from Zelda. Yes.
I don't
Tingle's
know.
Outfit. From Zelda.
I've handed it to someone who has more pop culture references than I do. All right,
wait. Let's get Tasha's side.
It looks like a scary mushroom.
All of this to say that Tim's ability to render a wedding dress in two dimensions is lacking somewhat.
Never claimed to be a visual artist.
And then what was the other picture you drew?
The wardrobe.
Fair.
I'm throwing the pictures on the ground. Did I even take notes and like word
no,
form?
No, but you kept saying another clue. You keep saying whenever they'd say a prompt, you'd say another clue. And then frantically draw down some of the worst imagery I've seen.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'll share this. This is a note I wrote yesterday, but I don't think I actually brought it up on the podcast episode. How dumb is Carrie for not knowing? And I am skipping ahead, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie.
Wait. Mm-hmm. We don't want to spoil this for some of the Sex and the City fans who have stumbled along to the only committed Sex and the City podcast recording in Chicago tonight.
When Harry reveals to Carrie that Big has been writing her and she's taken aback, she's like, he's never written to me. That's not true. He doesn't write to me. It's not a thing. She already fucking knows that he does. Because Louise gets that first email from him and she instructs her to put the email somewhere she'll never find it. She's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah. You got to remember, Louise is a construction of Carrie's own imagination. So there's several layers of...
That's true.
Mental barriers that she's put between herself and the fact that Mr. Big still pines after her.
It's like Carrie's done to herself what Professor Xavier has done to Jean Grey, if you're an X-Men fan.
You and Sam should get together and talk about all the things I don't understand.
We're doing a spin-off podcast.
What's it called?
It's an okay idea of all time. Two white guys host a pop culture podcast. Brand new format.
I don't know if the medium's ready. The amount of press coverage you boys are going to command is too much. It's too high. So that's your shining light? That Carrie is
Please?
Stupid?
Would you allow it?
You told me that you had three shining lights, then you detailed a bunch of illustrations and had a quibble with Carrie's intelligence.
I keep saying them out loud to you. Well, I said two of them out loud to you, and I hope that you would hold on to one of my shining lights.
I was on my own journey, man.
I know. I will have a shining light by the time we finish, but right, to pay for mental time.
I took some... Before we get into the very generously submitted questions, I took some other notes. I love... Oh, you could have this as... Hey, This is a bit condescending. Hey, why don't you have... This is your shining light. This is a bit of fun.
I'll fucking take it at this
point. We've never spoken about it, but it is one of the most alpha...
We've never spoken about something?
I think we've never spoken about this. It's one of the most alpha and American moves, I think, in the movie. And it speaks to the confidence of these characters that that when they go out for dinner at the Mexican resort... So first time Carrie's sort of eaten out of the away from the honeymoon suite. The waiter comes over and Samantha says, "We'll start with quattro margaritas." It is just the most beautifully distilled amount of like information and ignorance.
Yeah.
So excited to put the word quattro out there, dressed up by nothing but the English language.
Yeah. Hey, to be fair, margaritas is Spanish.
No, not the way she says it.
I don't even know if that's true.
It's honestly, I can't believe we haven't like fucking, you know, rolled our sleeves up and partied in this area before.
When you go overseas to a language that speaks another language and you know a couple of words and you're juiced, you do dumb shit like that.
No, but you try. I feel like if you are.
I keep referring to the boot of the car as the trunk while I'm over here in America. Yeah, I feel like it's the same thing.
I'm calling
Jandals flip flops.
I said to a Lyft driver, I said, "We're going to need to open up the boot." And Tim sort of took me aside and said, No, guy.
Where do you think we are?
Yeah. Here they call it a trunk. And then he winked at the cabbie. And the cabbie winked back. And they exchanged knife information. Anyway. I just think... I can't believe we haven't really addressed that before, because it is like... It's a moment of pure silliness.
Yeah, it's kind of the distillation of a stereotypical American trait we would mock internationally. Yeah. So I want you fuckers to know this is what we're saying behind your back.
No, but we do... We love and respect you, but
We have to. They've got military bases all over the world. That's the kind of love and respect money can buy. Yeah. I don't want a mother of all bombs turning up in the South Pacific. We wouldn't stand a bloody chance. We're tiny.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of drones, though, from DJI, so we take some really good video footage of it, but that's about it. That's out here for us.
But you,
some good drones.
There's nothing you can't do with a couple of good drones, except defend
your country. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one big one, but otherwise they're pretty good.
Mm.
But Americans, here's some info. Did anybody order some tea?
God.
No, you guys are very, the way you talk, it's very confident. You all sound very confident, even if you don't know. And it's really intimidating.
Says the fucking dude with the podcast where he watches the same movie all the time. Tours it internationally.
Yeah, yeah.
That's confidence.
No, that's luck. or the opposite of luck. And the other one is that when I hear your accents, I assume that you are performing and all of your conversations with one another ring insincere to me.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of them could use a judicious edit, because I'm like, this wouldn't make it to TV. I am aware you're going about your lives, but that is what it's like. It is confusing.
It's a strange quirk of... You guys are the victim of your own success.
Yeah.
Of the amount of cultural exporting you do. You're so good at film and television. We're like, why would we put the garbage we make on telly on prime time? The Americans are selling us stuff for cheap.
Yeah.
We'll put that on the air. So all the kids grow up. There's a weird... we have definitely talked about this before. There's a weird thing that happens in New Zealand that happens in other countries where if you're like doing any character that isn't yourself when you're little, you put on an American accent. Even if they're not American. It's the strangest shit.
Yeah. I've always thought if I hear an American accent, I assume they're meant to entertain me. And if I hear a British accent, I think they're in charge. As soon as I hear a British person, I'm like, oh, it's going to be okay. Someone's in charge. But
imagine what the Germans would have felt like in World War II.
Yeah, if I hear a German accent, I'm usually like, oh, now this is going to be good. Yeah.
We've solicited for some questions from our lovely audience, so I feel like we've been giving a really hard time so far. Sorry.
So
we're sleep deprived. We're cranky, boys.
Chosen at random. I feel great. Speak for yourself, Tim. What will you do to celebrate when you're done? Love from Brian from Toronto. Well, today we spoke about going to the cinema to watch Toy Story 4 together.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Yep. Oh, yeah. And it's touching too, apparently. I would genuinely love to do that, because what have you got? We've got a day off together. We're going to have a barbecue, and then we might go to the cinema before. That'd be really nice.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do with all of the time that's suddenly available to you? We're not going to talk anymore. You know that, right?
I don't have a lot on, to be honest.
Oh, no. That's where this season was born from. That same place.
Next question. What movies are off limits to being watched past a miserable death? Okay, have I misread this?
What movies
are off limits to being watched
past the miserable death? The death of the movie is the reference to the question.
Okay. Also, one day, you should watch them drink for drink, coffee for coffee, as you watch and see what happens. I'll match them drink for drink.
That's a popular thing to do with the movie The Big Lebowski, because he famously, the dude, what he likes to do is he'll have a drink and he'll also smoke. And you're meant to, so he'll smoke
a
weed.
Russian and a joint.
Yeah, he does. And so you're meant to see if you can get through the whole movie.
If you, how would that go for Sex and the City one? Okay, first part of the question, movies off limits to being watched. But yeah, well, I mean, this isn't a good idea. The clue was in the name. Like,
I would say that, you know, with the right attitude, you can debase any piece of cinema. You just need to, like, constantly watch. I don't want to put rules on anything.
Yeah, you know?
I don't think any movie would withhold the amount of scrutiny under which we've put the four movies that we have done this
totally.
To. And, you know, that it's artistic merit is irrelevant to the experiment, because it's just like, as soon as you remove value and meaning from something like that, it ceases to exist as it was intended. We are not watching Sex and the City the way it was dreamed up in a cabin in the woods by Mattress Pikeland. This is not what he had in mind.
All of that to say, there are no limits. And if we were to drink one for one, I mean,
I think we'd be okay.
I think we'd be all right, to be honest.
Probably wouldn't be a mile away from sometimes what we do.
Yeah. I mean, I almost passed out in a fucking bathtub recently watching it in VR. So we do push the boat out.
I will say this. Tim was actually having PTSD about his full immersion experience today. We were watching the movie and he kept saying, without prompt, he's going, that was actually really bad, guy. He said full immersion was bad.
Was. It was scary is what it was. I was scared I was going to pass out and either drown or electrocute myself.
When watching other movies, do you ever get confused and think you're watching Sex and the City? Or any other movie you've done for the show? It's a two-parter, so there's the first one.
Confusion? Yeah.
You do?
You tune out, someone delivers a line, which is very normal. Like a waitress goes up to someone and says, can I help you? And you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
Charlotte's about to go into labour. Bring your car around.
I always draw lines between, like, if I hear a word or a turn of phrase that prompts a memory of something else, which I actually do beyond movies, it stays with you in real life. I'm constantly looking out for an opportunity to say it's true, even if it isn't. From the halcyon days of Grown Ups 2.
Yeah.
And actually, quite recently, when we were in New York City, Tim and I, we ate some magic mushrooms and traipsed across the Williamsburg Bridge. And when we got to the other side, I remember I turned to you and I said, does Miranda, when they go to Abu Dhabi, does Miranda say Abu Dhabi do?
Yeah, that's, I forgot about that. You did say that. Like, you couldn't believe.
Yeah, and Tim said yes. And I said, nice. And then after I said, it's important because that functions as a joke for the character and a joke outside of the movie. And I don't know why, but that gave me a great sense of peace. So if the question was, will the ill effects of what you've done stay with you for time immemorial? The answer is yes. The second part of the question is, do you ever dream about Sex and the City?
I don't think I have. My dreams are very strange and esoteric, though. They don't reference anything that exists.
Yeah.
They're real weird. It's probably on account of the mushrooms, if I'm being honest.
I don't dream of Sex in the City, but like, so today, for example, there was a point at which I was, for about, I would say, less than 3 minutes, like, just on the cusp of being unconscious, and Tim woke me up.
Because your eyes were closed.
Yeah. But I was listening along, but when I was, all I was thinking about was... I asked you about it as soon as you woke me up, which was like, do you think, this is a moral question for you, so with regards to Steve cheating on Miranda, as he does in the film,
hold on, you're saying that like there's another way he did that outside of the film we watched?
Their lives go on when the movie isn't playing, Tim. I love the guy as much as you do, but for all we know, he's a dirty dog.
Yeah.
Is there a moral distinction to be drawn between he cheats on Miranda and yes. then he tells her, and we are to believe from the way it's presented in the movie that the turnaround between cheating and confessing is immediate, that he has sex with someone else and then he turns to Miranda and says so. And as I was sort of, you know, flirting with sleep, I was pondering over the question whether or not it is more reprehensible to cheat on someone and then before telling them have sex with your partner. And so in that way, like, there's not just an emotional betrayal, but there's an element of physical betrayal.
It was a really interesting angle. So just to clean that up, if you didn't follow the ramblings of this madman, you have a partner and you sleep with someone who isn't them, and then you sleep with your partner and then tell them at that point that you've slept with someone else. I think it's way worse by factors, because there you're still like in a relationship and taking physical intimacy actions without them having information they need to make that decision.
Yeah,
it's fucked up. It's and I never thought about it before.
Yeah, because that's what I was. I mean, obviously, I don't think it was about to be a great bit of kip for me. It's not a very healthy mental state to be going into it pondering over that. But
it's an interesting thing you dwelled on.
I don't necessarily dream of Sex in the City, but so long as it is surrounding me in that state,
you chew over it.
Yeah, it colours my subconscious thoughts. So, great question. And actually, could I take a moment to say, great answer. Thanks, guy. No, don't clap, though. You get one, Tim.
All I want to do is talk about Brady, to be honest.
Go ahead.
I just feel like Brady is such an incredible character who has received not enough love and attention from us in this season of the podcast.
There's not enough Brady.
There's not enough Brady, but that doesn't mean...
Brady...
In some ways, it's more useful because... There's enough whiteboard that we can project onto him.
No, but even then, like, Brady is but a structural and storytelling. Here's the issue: he's a pawn in Mattress Pikelet King's sick game to tell a story and try and force empathy upon the audience to these unrelatable and abhorrent characters.
Well, that's one interpretation. The other is that it's the greatest story ever told.
Eventually. What we see are the seeds that grow and flourish into, you know, the origin story of Brady the Rat King. But because, first of all, the other characters in the movie do not pay enough respect or mind to the disintegration of Miranda and Steve's relationship breaking down and the fact that Brady is involved. And
is
that
it's, part of it?
Yeah, it is.
Fuel on the fire.
The other characters don't respect the fact that Miranda and Steve are going through this experience. And so if they're not going to respect the two most prominent figures in their day-to-day lives in this breakup, which are Miranda and Steve, I mean, we're not given enough information to really fuel our minds with regards to Brady. Like, he is an afterthought of an afterthought. The breakup of their relationship is an afterthought, and then within that, the idea of how Brady's doing is completely forgotten, which is exactly the supervillain origin story that we need and crave, isn't it? So, you know, they always give you just enough to develop empathy for the person who becomes evil. You're like, oh, I can see how this happened because of that. I can see how Brady got this way. Today we did a fun role play where Batman found Brady at his mum's apartment and was like, with your rats and my bats.
We is a strong word.
Gotham could be ours.
You started doing a Batman voice and throwing lines out. Do you ever get worried that the information you have in your head as a result of the podcast is taking up room that maybe could be occupied by other
I like to think it's exclusively pushing out the bank of 90s and early 2000s song lyrics that I simply cannot get rid of.
Okay.
That is what I'm hoping clearing. It's supplanting.
Okay, all right. It's the stuff on the bottom shelf. It's not good knowledge.
I mean, it's not really my... although it probably is totally my choice.
Do you remember how to do simultaneous equations?
I don't even... I genuinely don't even understand the question. Everyone in school's like, oh, you got to know math.
Yeah.
Literally two people need to know math. The rest of us can take it off. Like,
it's probably true. I reckon that's right. Question asker asks, does Rufus find Samantha's dog sexually attractive?
Good question.
Rufus is my dog. Does Rufus... Rufus is a bit young, I think. He's
how old is Rufus in human years?
3 years?
In human
four
years?
4 years. Oh, there's a human. Hold, okay, 6 months times 7 is 42 divided by 12 is three and a half. Three and a half years old.
The answer is...
I'm one of the two.
No, you're not, because the answer was 6 months. I wanted to know just an hour time.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Dog
yeah, six
years.
Months, right.
Well done, fucking Rain Man.
Steady on.
So you're telling me that your dog does not have sexual inclinations yet?
Well, I think I'm hoping he probably does now, actually. He's only just started humping stuff occasionally.
Sometimes when you and Zoe are sleeping, I coax Rufus out into the lounge and show him photos from Horse and Hound.
That's really weird, man. My answer to the question is I hope not. I want my boy to be my little boy forever.
That's sweet, but also totally misguided. And going to make parenting a living nightmare for you. Do you have any previewing rituals or prep at all before viewing the movie each week? This is another two-parter. We'll answer that one first. For me, it is literally putting it off. It is doing anything.
It's so accurate.
It is doing anything else. It is, honestly, watching this movie is what forces productivity to me at times, because I'm like, oh, I've got to watch the movie, but that gives me 2 hours before I have to start so I can do this and this.
Yeah.
There's nothing to prepare my mental stuff. You know, I'm just...
What can one do?
As is, where is for me.
Yeah.
You?
No, totally the same. It's the only reason that the lawns get mowed at my house. It's the only reason the bathroom gets cleaned. It's,
a force for good.
Well, it is. I guess ultimately it is, yeah.
And then the second part is, how do you pick what movie you'll watch each year?
I mean, there's nothing. Like, 1 year, when we picked We Are Your Friends, this is how it went. We were backstage.
I would like to say this was a tremendous misstep.
We were backstage at the LA live show watching the movie, because we decided to do it in the green room to, like, come out and have it fresh as possible. And we were just like, hey, so are we fucking doing another season or not? Like, we hadn't decided. And then we just sort of figured we would make it up on stage, and whatever we said out loud would be right, and we would have to commit to it. So I think we had a short list of 5 or 6 film titles, and it was just a race to see who would pick one the first out loud. And it happened to be, I think I said, We Are Your Friends. Yeah. And then suddenly that's the season. And the way we got into Sex and the City is a lot funnier, though, I think. Sex and City 2.
Was that because we missed... Sex and City 2 was because it was the funniest.
I made a video with, like, photos everyone has seen us listening to the podcast over the year. And then the last bit was, and the boys will be back for season 2. And then we tried lots of different movie posters to just appear at that moment. And the image of Carrie Bradshaw on a desert walking towards the camera was just so dramatic and absurd.
It was that paired with the runtime was the other thing we thought was funny.
Fucking A.
And that was wrong.
I was going to say never again, but here we are.
Yeah. I would like to say that We Are Your Friends is technically not podcast canon. Although, do you know... Do you know that? So yesterday morning, I woke up to a DM on Instagram in my other folder from a user with 13,000 followers by the name of Alex Schaefer. And all they had written in the message was, "Hey, it's me, Squirrel." And I wrote, I sort of clicked through the profile and I was like, "It does look a bit like Squirrel." And I wrote back and said, "Holy shit, hey man, how'd you find me?" And he said, "Lol, someone told me about podcasts when you were still doing it, and I wanted to come on for an episode, but I thought maybe it would upset people, so I ended up not reaching out." I was like, "Ha ha 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 ha! Man, we would have loved to have you so damn much! Where are you at the moment? We're on tour in the States, doing Sex and the City right now. Would love to grab a beer." And then he said, "Ha ha ha ha! I didn't say anything funny. This motherfucker's thirsty." He said, "Yeah, it would have been funny. Maybe for We Are Your Friends too." Something I didn't know about.
Well, he's definitely not in it if it exists. Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know. If you've got 13,000 followers on the back of being in a Zac Efron vehicle, things aren't going so red hot.
It's true.
But anyway, all that to say, we exchange a few messages and hopefully we'll be
able... Are we having a beer with him? A lot of this is news to me.
He's in New Jersey. So our window of opportunity as a unit has closed. But in a world of dreams, I would love to get him on a friend zone and talk about the making of We Are Your...
Shit, yeah. I think enough time's passed.
But like, can you...
it fucking tanks. Like, no one's going to care now. How much more damage could he do the product that hasn't already been done?
I can't believe that he... He must have been pissed or stoned or something because far after the movie, so far after the podcast.
Yeah,
and then just idling away on Instagram like, "Yeah, I know what I'll do."
It's so cool though. That's quite amazing.
That's great. The world is shrinking around us.
We don't have a ton of time left. Do you want to do more of these?
I would
what do, are you looking got, at?
There's a clock up there.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Huh. It's got the weather on it.
Yeah. 71 degrees. On Monday, the 24th of June, 9:14 p.m. here in Chicago, Illinois, the greatest city on earth. You guys love it. Should we do one more? This one looks like it was written by a 3-year-old with their bad hand.
Hold on, we're going to do two more.
Which should represent the best possible question. If you had to have the hair of one of the girls, who would you pick?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. As I say, this has got no punctuation. It looks like it was written by someone who will go out and source the hair.
Take our third co-host. Yeah. Go have at it.
Why Charlotte?
She's got beautiful hair.
She does have beautiful. Yeah, I think I'd actually take. I would take Miranda's hair. Yeah,
the redhead.
I think it would look I think it would look becoming on me. And I think if I was wearing that, then maybe sweet baby Steve might be coming on me as well.
The last question, this is going to be tricky. I'm going to get the knife to pick it, but the thing is that the nib has broken, so hopefully this still works. I'm going to scatter some of these out on the stage, and then I'm going to let the knife decide what is the last question, okay?
How are you going to do that?
Chuck it up in the air.
I can't imagine this functioning.
You can't even really see what I'm doing because I'm behind the old table.
No, I mean, not only can no one in the room see what you're doing,
knifey.
Certainly no one listening along.
Pick true, pick well. Oh, nice. Okay. Knifey has selected the following question. If you could recast one person in this film with Patty Schwartz, who would it be?
Well, it's got to be someone he's given a lot to. I would love to see Patty Schwartz as Mr. Big, to be completely honest. I think he's got the same sort of confused face and general attitude towards life that would mean
very beautiful.
And yeah, he's physically more beautiful than Noth.
Yeah.
And Noth is a dish.
Yeah.
So that for me it would have to be. I just love to see, because I think he's grown as an actor, and from what I understand, some of his more recent performances have received, if not critical acclaim, not necessarily critical
disdain. Guys desperately trying to chase down a beer with Betty Schwartz because we're off to LA next.
Yeah, well, and of course, famously, he still listens.
Grease
but
those
no,
wheels.
I think he. I would like to see. I would like to see Grown Ups 2 era Patty Schwartz well out of his depth. You know,
nice.
Even while everyone else is phoning it in and he's trying his hardest, that would be very funny interplay.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
You co-sign?
And, I 100% do.
Do you co-sign because of timing reasons?
No, I think what you said was great.
Do you?
Do you want me to go back on that?
Or do you still think what I said was great?
Yeah.
Well, then, no, stand by your opinion.
I stand by my man, which is you, Guy Montgomery.
We're friends and we're in love. I said to my partner on the phone today, I said, Tim and I are having such a good time. We've been having such a good time in bed, purely platonic. And she said, why would you say purely... platonic.
I had my headphones on at the time listening to the motion soundtrack for Beetlejuice.
And I said,
I didn't hear any of this.
I said, I don't really know. I just wanted you to know that it's only platonic. And she said, wasn't a point of concern or curiosity for me.
Oh boy, I need to get home
anyway,
to my wife in all New
of that,
Zealand.
All of that to say, it's a good thing that we're on separate bunks, because...
look, the truth of the matter is, we love each other. Guy and I, through thick and thin, the frosty fellas, up against the world. We're so delighted to be here in Chicago. We're so grateful that you fine folk came out, especially the people from Minneapolis in particular. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So please give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you so much for coming to the worst idea of all time.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out. I feel him out. We go for it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.